Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com and you can post jobs for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can also email your audio file to us if you want to record it on the mobile device. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
Hon, how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm enjoying Night of the Living Dead here on the iPad that I've set up.
Yeah.
I was earlier today beginning my first couple of haunted house radio ads that I make every year for some folks around the country. And I thought I would set the mood by having that playing in the background.
I've never seen the whole thing, so I'll watch it with you this year for Halloween.
Would you actually watch it?
I will watch this one with you.
It's I forgot a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
I noticed as I had it on today, I'm like, I forgot that they even showed scenes like that. My favorite parts are really where they're like, they get the TV working and they're tuning into the news reports and how it's so old looking and kind of creepy and just bizarre and people are confused as to what's going on and it's just fun. There's so many lines. There's so many good lines in that movie. The one that always comes to mind is, you know, they're coming to get you, Barbara. But there's a ton of other really good ones that I've heard today when I had it on in the background. Like, oh, that's good and creepy. I like that. I don't know why that's not used more often. Anyway, that's what I've been up to today as we're getting closer and closer to the Halloween season.
Yeah.
I wonder if I bet a lot of folks have actually heard my haunted house ads, but they have no idea.
That it's you.
That's me, because the voice, I pitch it uh-huh. down and make it super creepy and evil sounding. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun. I like it. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would we'd love to hear them. Let's go to our first caller of the day here at Real Ghost Stories Online and hear a story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, you two. This is Brittany from beautiful British Columbia up in Canada. And I am an avid listener. I've been listening for months. And you two get me through my workday. We go walk home. So my job can get a little bit tedious. So I just throw you guys on in my earphones and I listen to you guys like for hours. It's hilarious. And then somebody will come and talk to me and then just scare me. It's so funny. Anyways, my story is kind of a happy story. Sadly, I, truthfully, not a lot of people know this, but I did have an abortion before my first child, just like about 3 months before, actually, before I got pregnant the second time. I won't get into the details. It was a really, really hard and sad time for me. And was very definitely a hard choice for, you know, people who are, you know, against it. Anyways, well, recently, in the past couple months, I've had two dreams. And what made me call in was I've heard about your visitor, like visitation dreams. And my first dream, I had a dream about a little boy, but I could never see his face, but he had black hair, and he was only like, he was about the same age as my 4-year-old daughter. And anyways, I had a second dream just recently, about a month ago, and it was like a gorgeous day. I was like back in my hometown, and we were in a field, and there was cattle guards, and it was just me. There was no clouds in the sky, and I've never felt so happy and content in a long time. I mean, I've been going through a divorce and everything, so, and move in and whatnot. So I had a dream that my daughter Lux was playing by the cattle guards with this little boy, the same little boy, but I saw the back of his head, and he grabbed her hand, and they were playing. And as I was walking up behind them, I remember just looking up into the sky, the beautiful blue sky with the sunshine, and all I could think was, oh, there's my two children. And I felt happy. I felt like in my dream that my two children were there, and that I was just, you know, I felt complete, you know. And then I woke up, and I felt relief. I felt like he came and saw me and felt, you know, trying to tell me that everything's going to be okay. And, you know, and honestly, like almost every day, I pray that I'll go to sleep and maybe he'll come visit me again. But I truly believe that's my son. And I just wanted to let you two know, it's kind of a happy one. But, you know, for people out there, you know, I've tried to tell my sister, and she's like, well, she's your subconscious or something, you know. She didn't understand it, but I truly believe that those two dreams, that my son is coming down to visit me, and that he is a part of me and Lux's life, and that he's our angel, and he takes, you know, he watches over us. And I don't know, I just felt like very happy that I could tell you two and tell everyone else and everything. So yeah, that's my story, and I hope you two have a good day, and thank you so much for everything, and have a good day. Bye.
We get a lot of stories about children that for whatever reason don't make it to birth, coming back and visiting in dreams. And it's interesting because they seem, it's like they are the age that they should be when they come back to visit.
Yeah, I'm also wondering too, could this be a child she's not had yet?
Might be.
You know, that's something that I think people have. Didn't you say you had a dream about like having a little redhead before we had...
When I was pregnant with Harper,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. I think that happens too. You know, mm-hmm. I think sometimes we, you know, we, and I'm not dismissing it as being, you know, that couldn't be what this is with what she's describing, but I'm just kind of throwing another perspective out there,
mm-hmm.
on the possibility of who that could possibly be.
Yeah.
Is it, could that be what, and we're only going to know, you know, with time, you know, and maybe she'll call back in 5 years and be like, guess what?
You know, I had that, the little black-headed boy.
The yeah. child that I had been dreaming about is that child. And mm-hmm. So just another thought on that experience there. So thank you for calling in and sharing that with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Gustavo. I recently found your show on Spotify while I was taking a road trip from Colorado to California, and I really like your show. I didn't think I would have any stories to contribute to, but then I started talking to my friend about your show, and then he told me that when we were little, we took a trip to Guatemala, and he remembers that one of his family members used to own a farm, and one of the neighbors had a pig farm, so they had a lot of pigs. And one thing that he told me was that he saw some shadow figures going towards the lady's house, because it was an old lady that used to own that farm. And all he recalls was that there was a lot of squeals, like the pigs started to squeal. And he didn't think much of it. He thought maybe someone was just walking by there, you know, trying to figure it out. But we found out the next day was that the lady that owned the farm died. We don't know if it's anything related to the shadowy figures that we saw walking towards her farm, or was it natural causes. But all I know was that the following day after seeing that, you know, the lady passed away. I don't know what it could be, or I don't know. I just thought I would share that. Thanks.
That's a creepy experience to have.
So do you think the pigs knew, and that's why they were making all that noise?
I don't know. Animals tend to know a lot of shit we don't know about.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's one you don't really hear about a whole lot. You know, I suppose when, you know, someone passes, it's not like, oh, the golden retriever was acting really strange, and then Ma died. You know, you're just kind of like wrapped up in your loved one dying, that and for good reason in most cases, that you're not necessarily then like suddenly sensitive to how the pets were feeling, or the animals around that time. But I wonder, you know, if that were to be looked at from another perspective, I wonder how often we would see, you know, animals sensing things of that nature. You know, they sense storms, they sense all sorts of stuff that we can't see until it gets here. I mean, obviously we have, you know, technology to tell us, but they obviously have their own as well that they're not telling us about. So I wonder if they have some, you know, if they can sense those sort of things. You know, they're, you know, animal, the dogs that can smell cancer, you know, is there a way for them to pick up on someone who's about to die or possibly go through something that could kill them?
Dogs that can smell cancer?
Yeah.
I knew that there were dogs that could tell, like, if a child's about to have an epileptic seizure.
Yeah.
Or a, you know, a diabetic episode. But I did not know that.
I believe so. Let me Google it. I think I didn't just make that up out of my...
Okay.
Dogs that smell. Well, it comes up. It comes up as you know, when I type it. In a research study conducted in the Pine Street Foundation... breath samples of 31 breast cancer patients, 55 lung cancer patients, and 83 healthy people were presented to 5 trained scent dogs. Then I have to click on it to read more. Well, so they're at least testing it. We know that.
Okay. But regardless, there are dogs that can tell things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just hadn't heard the ones that can sniff out cancer.
That there's some studies that show, yes, in fact, some can. So there you go.
That's cool.
Huh. But I wonder, I'm talking more imminent things like having a heart attack or something. And it's like, I can sense your whatever, your vibrations are off. There's something off. Like the same way, like if you were hooked up to an EKG at that moment in time, it would also sense something was off.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't necessarily know it. I wonder if an animal or a trained animal in that area would have an idea.
Maybe.
Huh? Something to watch your pets. They're acting weird and there's nothing, no storms coming in. You might be about to die.
That's nice.
Just so you're aware. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. How about those experiences of trying to hire the right people? That's not always the easiest thing to do. You know where to post your job to find the best candidates if you're in that position. ZipRecruiter, my friends. Post your job to 100 plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different, because other job sites, they make you go and find it. They'll put your posting out there, and then you got to go and try and sift through everything. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes, big, small, by the most qualified candidate with immediate results. Right now, our listeners can post jobs at ZipRecruiter for free to try it out. Check it out for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. One more time, try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, so I'm from Massachusetts, and as far as I can remember, you know, growing up where I live, I've always had experiences. So a couple of my stories, I have one where I had a friend who lived a couple blocks down the road from me, and his house used to be a crematory and a local vet in the 1800s for the livestock and horses. So the doctor that lived in the house, he would take local livestock, he'd try to heal them, and if he couldn't, they would be, you know, put down and put in the crematory. Well, he had a wife who had suffered from unfortunate events after he had passed and her children had. So fast forwarding to almost 100 years later, his mother's father had owned the house, and they rebuilt it and stuff. Well, as far as we could tell, it was definitely haunted. For one, anybody who came into the house knew that there was a ghost by the name Evelyn, who was the vet's wife. And you knew she was there because it would just feel cold. You would just know she was around. And so one time, we were house-sitting while his mother went on a date. And I've kind of been skeptical of the house, you know. This is my around a couple times I've been there. And I remember we were sitting there in the living room. And all of a sudden, I look over and happen to see in the doorway what looked like a woman with a porcelain face and a white dress, just standing there staring at us, and he happened to see it too, my friend did, and I just jumped up and kind of was, you know, just shocked at what I saw. Throughout the time that we were there, you would hear her pacing back and forth upstairs, which seemed to be her house, her room, I mean, sorry. And my other story would be when my grandfather had died. Around the time he had died, we had a ceremony at a soldier's cemetery. The night after we had his funeral, I had a dream, which was, you know, the ceremony that we had in the church, and instead of his little ashes urn, it was him standing there in his sailor suit just staring at us. Throughout the dream, you know, we went through the process of saying goodbye. At the very end, as we were standing outside the chapel, I could see him going towards where he was going to be buried. But instead of the headstones, it would be just soldiers, sailors, just many people who have served our country. And it was like they were waiting for him, and they were all saluting him. And it looked like they just surrounded him and hugged him, like as if to say, you know, welcome. I don't know if it was him letting me know that he was okay, that he was at peace, but, you know, I felt like it was him just connecting with me, saying I'm okay, and I've moved on. So, yeah, I hope you hear my story, and maybe hear from you guys then. Thank you for your podcast. I love listening to all the stories that you share, and I will be continuing to be a listener. All right.
So the house that she was talking about that used to be a crematory,
mm-hmm.
and how they thought it was the woman that used to live there wandering around upstairs. How do you really know? Because it sounds like it's a very old home with a lot of history.
How do you know
who it is?
You don't.
I know. I'm just wondering, do people feel better when they assign an identity to a spirit?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it It's one of those things. The more you know, and I'm not trying to do, but I'll do it anyhow. The more you know about something, the more comfortable you're going to be with it, good or bad. But so especially when something like this, and you don't know if it's good or bad, it's just odd and out of the ordinary. That's why I think so many times people assume whatever they're experiencing or whoever they're experiencing, and put an identity to it. When I don't think they really should be. I think we get a lot of calls like that where it's immediately this person or that person simply because they died recently or they lived in this location or it's like, okay, well, you know, you're got a good list of suspects, you know, could that be that person? Sure. But until there's a lot more evidence to prove or to point of the identity of the person, just because it's male or female, there's still a lot of other possibilities there.
I just think it's interesting that people feel more comfortable with a ghost if they think they know who it is.
Sure, I would. Wouldn't you?
No, not necessarily. You wouldn't? I would not be happy to have a ghost no matter who it is.
You better hope I don't kick it before you.
Okay.
Because I'm going to haunt the shit out of you if...
Fine.
It's going to show up in weird places. Make everyone really uncomfortable.
Okay.
Like, why is the curtain moving in the shower when you're all alone in there? And
you'd be a weirdo in death too.
Shit, like not like watching people or anything, but just freaking people out when they're kind of in places where they're just by themselves or alone, and then you can never prove that I'm there. It's like they think they're seeing. It's like, yeah. I'm going to be that ghost. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sandra from Texas again. Thank you guys for playing my story. I just heard it the other day on the episode called Creek. And I realized I was a little nervous when I sent in my story, so I didn't get to tell you about this one other thing that happened at that house. Just to refresh, this was the house where I took care of an elderly lady, and the lamp turned on by itself behind me once I walked away. So what happened was I was working there, and it was winter time, and there was this little stray cat that would come around, and... I felt bad for her, you know, because it was cold and she looked like she wasn't fed very well. So I started feeding her, and the lady found out about it and she says, "I don't want any more cats. I have enough cats. Don't bring that cat in here." And I was like, "Yes, ma'am." but I asked her permission if I could at least feed her outside, and she said that would be fine. So I did. And she was a little scared at first, but once I started feeding her, she got a little used to me, and I got to pet her one day, and I realized that she had kittens. She was carrying kittens. And so I started talking to her, and I asked her, "What's your name? You're so pretty. You're such a sweet girl. What's your name?" And I got this name that popped into my head, Delilah. And I said, "Well, I don't know. That doesn't really fit her. I didn't think it was a good fit." So I said, "Maybe we'll call you Callie." So I would just call her Callie, and I tried to see what I could do to get her some help because she was going to have those kittens, and it was really cold, and I felt really bad for her. So the lady that I worked for, her daughter, loved animals, and I showed her the cat and told her, you know, the situation, and she said, "Well, my niece is a veterinary assistant. I bet she'll take her in." And sure enough, within about a couple days, they came and got her, and they took her over to her niece's house, and they took her inside and got her little spot ready, and within a few days, she had her kittens. And so the next time I saw the daughter, I asked her, you know, "How's the cat doing?" And she's like, "Oh, she had her kittens. She's doing great. They're taking care of them." And I said, "Oh, that's awesome. And what did y'all name the cat?" And she said, "Oh, they named her Delilah." So I thought that was really strange that this cat was telling me her name was Delilah and I didn't listen. And I thought that was really strange. And I wonder how the cat told the niece this also. Like, what is this telepathic communication that's going on? It's just Very interesting. And does it have something to do with the house? Does it have something to do with, you know, the ghost from that house, or what? What's going on? It's just, it was very odd. And I just thought that was interesting. I also wanted to share with you guys another story. It's a haunted mirror story that I have. My grandmother died about 10 years ago. She was a very strong-willed woman, and she struggled with diabetes most of her life. And she knew that she was getting close to the end, so she didn't want any of us fighting over any of her belongings. So she started asking everybody in the family to tell her what they wanted of hers. And so she was sorting all the things out before the end was near, you know, before she was gone. And I told her that I liked that mirror that she had in the hallway. It was a really old mirror, and it had been there ever since I could remember. Ever since I was a kid, I would see it, and I always thought it was really cool looking. And this was before I knew anything about old mirrors and old haunted mirrors. So unfortunately, she passes away, and I get the mirror, and I bring it home and put it in my living room. And at first, I didn't really notice anything, but after a while, every time I would look at the mirror, I would just get this weird feeling. And then it started getting to the point where anytime I would walk by it or see it at night, especially, I would just get this creepy feeling. And there was other things that was happening in my house at the same time. I believe that I had a ghost at my house also. But I don't know if it's related to my house or the mirror. I don't remember. It's been a while, so I can't remember which one was started first. I'll have to talk about my haunted house later. I've got a few more stories that I can share with you guys. But anyway, so I gave the mirror away eventually because it was just creeping me out. I gave it to my aunt, who had just moved into a new apartment, and she didn't really have many things hanging on the wall. And so I asked her, I was like, do you mind, you know, hanging on to this mirror for me? I have a lot too much stuff. You know, I didn't want to tell her the real reason. And she said, sure. So she put it in her bedroom. And a few days go by, and I go back to see her, and now the mirror is in her dining room. And I thought, maybe, you know, she must be picking up on some weird vibes too, but I didn't ask her about it. And then maybe a week or two goes by, and I go back to see her, and the mirror's gone. And so I asked her, hey, what happened to the mirror? She's like, oh, I gave it to your mom. You know, she wanted to see, I just wanted to let her have it for a while. She kind of didn't want to, I don't think she wanted to tell me the real reason either, but I could kind of sense that maybe she was getting freaked out also. So I go see my mom, and sure enough, she's got the mirror in her living room. And a few weeks go by, and I come back, and the mirror is now in her back porch, wedged against the wall with some cardboard boxes. I just thought that was so funny that everybody in the family who has this mirror can feel these creepy vibes coming from it, or at least that's what I'm assuming, because I don't see what other reason they would do this. It's something that belonged to my grandma. You would think this was a treasured item. But I didn't want to bring it up because my family doesn't really like to talk about ghosts and stuff like that. But me, I'm totally into it. So anyway, that's my story. I have a few more stories that I will call and share with you guys later. I really love your show, and I appreciate you sharing all these stories with everybody. It's really a really good thing to have this, you know, place to let it all out and talk about how you feel. Tony, you're hilarious. I love the way you just bust out singing. It's so funny. And everybody loves your nutty humor. And we love how Jenny tries to keep you under control. Keep it up, you guys. You're awesome. Thank you.
See, they love me singing songs.
I know.
And with that, I think we should probably break into one quick song just as a thank you.
I was thinking about talking about the story.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just curious with the aunt and the mom, what their stories were with the mirror. Maybe they had worse experiences.
I think it's funny that she pawned off an item like, and I didn't want to really tell her about it, you know.
Well, I understand why she did it, because, you know, it was a beloved family item, or should have been. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it wouldn't have affected somebody else in her family if they weren't sensitive. But like she said, you know, it affected everybody. So I'm just curious, you know, maybe they saw things or maybe they heard things and it wasn't just a vibe.
What if everybody had like a different experience with the mirror?
Yeah.
You know, seeing different things or different, you know, dead relatives showing up. Maybe you sit there and all of a sudden Rick Astley pops up in the mirror. It's like, we've known each other for so long.
I'm just going to ignore all that.
You love this mirror and you're going to look at it. I just want to freak your ass out. That's how the song goes. No.
You done?
Never going to get.
Just Rickrolled our entire audience.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. And Real Ghost Stories Online. I would love to back some of my karaoke up with music, but then we get flagged and we couldn't put it up. And
yeah,
it has to be all acoustic. Not acoustic. What word am I looking for?
Acapella.
Acapella. Not rockapella from Around the World with Carmen Sandiego.
No.
Acapella, just so. So everybody's clear. Because I know sometimes there's a lot of confusion with Carmen Sandiego. Hi.
Hey, y'all. It's Christina from Woodstock, Georgia. I was just calling. I was listening to a few ghost stories last night, and I just so happened to remember this one from, oh gosh, I can't remember what grade I was in elementary school. I just know I was young. I went to Woodstock Elementary off of Main Street in Woodstock, Georgia, and it's over 100 years now. I think it was over 100 just about when I went there. I went to the original Woodstock Elementary School, the brick building with Woodstock, the Charlie Brown Berg was on it, you know, the old timey Woodstock. But anyways, their library, my mom even went to that. That just goes to show you. It's really old. Well, I remember I went into I was in the library and they had a picture of one of the librarians who had passed away. They had like a memory wall of her. And it was right where like the back, like where they kept like all like the extra stuff, like storage and whatnot. And so you would go in and like, you know, you first go into the library and it was the little kid section. And then as you get closer to the back where that storage room is back there, it's like older books, you know, it goes up to sixth grade books. So I was, you know, I was back there and I see this lady and, you know, she's older looking, you know, she's got like that, kind of like a beehive looking hairdo. And, I'm just like, I've seen her before. And, you know, I'm like just thinking in my little elementary school mind, like, oh, she looks familiar. And then I just so happened to look up at the picture of the lady, of the librarian who had passed away. And her full body apparition is just standing right there, right in the doorway of the storage area. And I look at the apparition, I look back at the picture, I look at the apparition, I look back at the picture, I'm like, in my little elementary school mind, I'm kind of freaking out, but I'm kind of confused at the same time because I'm like, what is this? And, you know, I want to say that's probably one of the first paranormal experiences that I have had or that I ever had. I mean, that was the very first, that's the furthest or the earliest one I can remember. And I really want to say I was in like first grade, even kindergarten maybe. But I just remember having that little freak out moment in my little elementary school brain, like, this doesn't make sense, you know, because it was like, you know, known that she had passed away. She was a very good, like, person, very sweet lady and everything. And I just remembered that. And I don't remember, I mean, it was so long ago. I don't remember if she had just, like, you know, vanished or what, or if I ran, I can't remember exactly. I just remember seeing it right there and me just freaking out. But I had to call you guys. I don't remember the story I was listening to last night, but it just reminded me of that moment. And I do this all the time where I'm listening to y'all's show and then I'll remember something that, I mean, that has been that I blocked away of years ago, and it'll just, you know, to come back to the front of my mind, and I'm like, oh, I forgot this happened, because, you know, scary shit tends to, I tend to block it out of my life because I don't want to remember it, but I thought that was a cool little experience that y'all would find amazing. I can't thank you guys enough for this outlet for all of us. It has really helped, just with everything. And it makes me feel comfortable that I'm not the only one out there that experiences things like this. People think I'm crazy. They look at you funny, and like, it's like, you can't even speak your mind about it because people just are so quick to judge. But I have a little ghost crew that I go call it at my work. And like, we meet up in the break room and like, hey, did you hear this story? Like, we listen to your stories and stuff. And it's really neat, that we have each other and that all of us that listen to this show have each other. And I am proud to say I am a PP. Oh my gosh. Sorry. I haven't had my coffee yet. It's early in the morning. I am a proud EPP member. I would suggest anyone to do it. It's literally, it's $5 a month, y'all. It's a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Get it. It's worth it. Absolutely. Anyways, thanks again for everything, y'all. Y'all have a good one and take it easy.
There you go.
I love that she saw just plain as day the teacher that had passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just I think I kind of saw her. I thought I heard her voice. No, she's right there.
There she is. You glance at the picture. And it's like totally something from a movie.
Uh-huh.
Almost, you know. Creepy stuff. I remember I never really had a whole lot. I didn't see any full bodied apparitions at my library as a kid. But we did have an elevator that nobody really used that was fun. It would just open up on its own.
Yeah.
Really wasn't that old. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Didn't seem old at the time. I'd been in old elevators and this didn't have that feel.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt more like an institutional elevator. But there was like a little balcony section of our library, and my mom would like to look up there at books. And if I stayed on that level, because it wasn't very big, I was allowed to just kind of play and just kind of go up and down that area. Mm-hmm. It's kind of off by itself. And there was no kids' books on that section, but I just like to wander the halls. And I remember I'd always go and hang out over by that elevator. And sometimes I'd just, you know, sit on one of those stools, the same stools that you have at a library, the ones that you have at a shoe store quite uh-huh. often. And I just sit there and kind of roll around. And then all of a sudden, ding, doors open. Nobody's there. And I wouldn't press the buttons. It just did it. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a library. There's lots, you know, kids are there too. So maybe a kid sent it up from the bottom. And there's a lot of explanations. It's hard to say it's paranormal, but I do have that memory.
Was your high school haunted?
Not that I'm aware of, although I'm guessing probably.
I'm just asking because I know yours was old and weren't you like the third generation to go there?
I was, and I was the last class.
Yeah.
We were the very, very last class in that building, and then they tore it down. And it kind of resembled a prison.
Wow.
If you were to look at the building and go high school or prison, you'd be answering prison, just by the looks of, of that section of the building. Yeah, it was built like in the late 1800s. My grandparents went there. I don't know if my great grandparents went there or not, but, at least on my dad's side, I know they went there. My parents went there. I went there. And it was falling apart. I mean, it was a great setting for a horror movie if you ever wanted to make one.
Mm-hmm.
Just because all limestone building as well. Just, it was creepy.
Yeah.
But I never had anything weird happen. I never even really thought of it being haunted back then. It was, I don't know. I mean, as much as I like ghost stuff, it never really crossed my mind of maybe this building's haunted. It looks pretty freaky. I know some people have talked about the theater being haunted. Now that you bring it up and I think about it a little bit, there's the little theater, which is still standing. Because all they did was knock down the old part of the building and then made the part that had been renovated over the years or added onto into an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
So that part's still there, and so is the Little Theater, as it was known.
Hmm.
I don't know what the ghost stories were or are, but I do know people have them, as all theaters seem to have ghosts.
That's cool.
So there you go. I was going to say, when she was talking about how much they like to listen to us at their workplace, if this was like... old school radio, where it's like local radio, you know, where you can just go to the office place We could totally do the thing where you show up like, hey, and here's a pizza party or a box of donuts. And I kid you not, when we were in Michigan the other day, we were listening to really bad local radio at a couple stations. And there was one where, and this is so just, you know, I remember doing this shit too, where it's like, you know, you bring the donuts to the office and that's fine, but I never like recorded it and made it into a promo because it's so cheesy to do that.
Yeah.
It just sounds weird. And I mean, or if you're going to do it, you just get the reaction shot of like, oh, great. But they literally, the DJ literally used like all like, God knows, like 2 minutes of everything from, okay, we're walking into the office, and he's talking like this. Mm-hmm. We're walking to the office place right now, and oh, there's nobody here yet. I'm just going to wait a minute or two. Like, edit that out. Okay. Oh, someone's here. Hi, how you doing? I'm Bill Billups from the Light Station, and we have donuts for you. Okay, let me see if Susan is here. You know, it's like the ultimately overly excited DJ over a box of, you know, $12 donuts. You know, more so in the DJ's mind, you know, especially the egocentric DJ mind at that moment is like, they're going to be really impressed to see me. this
so
person
much.
That's walking around with a microphone randomly in someone's face. Hey, we brought you donuts.
Well, thank you. I love listening to you at work, Chuck.
It's Bill. Bill Billups. And yeah, so I enjoy listening to local radio. It's fun. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. This is Jessica calling, or I guess recording, from Michigan. And my story is a peaceful one. It's a little bit sad, but I hope that you will like to hear it. So when I was 12, I made my first friend, and her name was Tiffany. She was really the first person that ever befriended me, and kind of since then, we were inseparable. For 14 years, we talked every day. We saw each other almost every day. I think that we used to call each other our soul sisters, because I definitely think we were on a spiritual level sisters, or very connected. You hear the saying that people kind of have like a twin flame, like a twin soul, and that's who I felt like was mine. So we were always very, very close. And actually, it wasn't until we were about 27 that she ended up going to jail. She struggled with alcohol and, you know, medication and things. She struggled with depression and anxiety, and I always tried to help her. I never drank or really did anything like that, so I always tried to be somebody that could help ground her. But she did end up getting on probation and violating, and she did go to jail for 3 months. And during that 3 months, that was the longest, you know, like I said, that we hadn't seen each other. We would write each other letters, which was really fun because, you know, it was something we used to do back in middle school, reminded us of old times. And she ended up, right before she was about to get out of jail, at the end of the 90 days, she sent me this letter, and it was almost as if she was saying goodbye. I should explain that Tiffany was definitely psychic in a lot of different ways. And I have always been too, my whole life. And as well as I've been basically a medium since I could remember. I guess I was just kind of born that way. But, so she wrote me this letter, and it felt like a goodbye because she was saying, like, you know, remember, you're always going to be my sister. I will always love you. You're such a fighter. I'm so proud of you, of everything you've done, and never forget how strong you are, you know. And she got out. It was like a late Saturday night, so technically Sunday on April 20th, and it was Easter. And the whole day, when she got out of jail, she just didn't seem like herself. She the whole time she was in jail, she was very clear-headed, like she's sober, and she was doing actually really, really well. And she told me that it was actually the happiest that she had been in a long time. And she seemed to get in touch again with her spirituality while she was in jail. And so the next day, she was just really out of it. And I asked her mom, you know, if she was okay. I actually had this gut feeling I needed to go pick her up and take her to the emergency room, and I should have listened to it. I didn't, because I figured, okay, she was going to go see her boyfriend and it was going to be fine. She actually sent me pictures of, like, her hair and her makeup, you know, because she was excited to see him. And she just, in these pictures, did not look like herself. It was as if her soul had just left her body and her eyes were empty. And I really knew something was wrong, and for some reason I ignored it. And that night she went to bed, and her boyfriend woke up at 5:30, and she was fine. She, you know, they didn't do anything out of the ordinary. They just had dinner and went to sleep. You know, they didn't drink, they didn't do anything like that. And he woke up again at 7:30, and she was just gone. So she passed away very peacefully in her sleep, but it was always really hard because, you know, that was the longest I hadn't seen her. And then I had plans with her the next day, and I was so excited to see her, and I never got to see her. I actually found out that she had passed away on Facebook while at work. So that was definitely hard. And what happened was the jail had accidentally overdosed her medication. So a lot of people, I guess if you are listening to this, thought that she overdosed herself, or, you know, that it was self-induced and it was 100% not her fault. So that night that she had passed, the following day, that was a Monday, I was staying in my parents' house, and they have, it's like an attic, and they have eaves, and I could hear somebody running up and down and up and down in the eaves. And that night I had a dream that she came to me in a sea of people and was just really confused, and I hugged her and said it was going to be okay. And these activities continued for, you know, almost till her funeral. And after her funeral, I had a dream about her, but it was different. I came to a house on the ocean, and right away I knew it was her house. Right away I knew that she was selling me. I've crossed over. I'm at peace. I think I helped her maybe in some way. And so I came up to this house, and I walked in, and it was beautiful. It was like, it was just around, I think it was either dusk or dawn. I can't tell you which one, but there was three big windows open, and there was these white curtains blowing in the wind. All of her art, she was an incredible painter, was all over the walls. And I came out to the beach, and she was just sitting there almost like she was expecting me. And we didn't have to really talk. The only thing that she said was, you know, actually I told her, hey, your mom is doing okay. She's making good choices in her life. And she said, that's great. And she smiled. And we didn't really have to talk. I knew she was at peace. And I still have visitation dreams of her from time to time. And, you know, I really miss her a lot. She was a really big part of my life. Another thing that happened shortly after she had passed, as I was meditating and kind of asking for my guides to come through, and so I could know them better. And there, you know, she didn't really post on Facebook much while she was around, but, you know, her Facebook was, I don't know if it was hacked or what, but anyways, immediately after that meditation, there was a Facebook status that came up on her profile that just said, hey, I want to see you. So I don't know if that was a hacker or not, but either way, it was kind of comforting. So thank you so much for listening to my long story. It's okay if it doesn't get played. It's okay if it does. I'm just happy that it was listened to. It felt really nice to be able to share that. And, you know, this is such a great medium for people to express themselves and their experiences, and those who are sensitive that listen, I think it is very validating, and it really helps me, I know, personally. So, all right, thank you, guys.
That is such a terrible story, the way that happened.
Not as in a bad story.
No, but that she made it through jail time, and she was getting her life back together, and she passed away.
Because of someone else's error.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do believe that, you know, things can happen like that, where, you know, messages can come in the form of dreams, and it can be paranormal. There's times where it's not, and it's just our mind working through it. But I think that there are certainly times where it is in that realm of being paranormal.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that that experience with us here on the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number, but Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. You sign up at ghostpodcast.com for that. Get all those bonus episodes of the show, 150-some at this point, right around that area, and exclusive video content and a whole lot more. It's only $5 a month, and that support is what allows us to do this thing for you every single week. So please check that out, and please support the show if you like it at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.